This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton flying solo tonight on 7-5 Radio. It is approximately 9 minutes after the hour on Saturday, September the 4th, 2021. First order of business, we usually read the names of members that were murdered in the law enforcement community. Fortunately, we have no names for a second week in a row. Walter's taking a well-deserved rest tonight, but we do have a very special guest. This man needs no introduction. He is the author of America's Expiration Date. He is none other than Cal Thomas. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Peter. Nice to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for agreeing to come on. Cal, tell me, what is on your mind tonight? Because we got a lot of the things going on, sir.
Well, I think I'm very concerned about the direction of the country, Peter. As I wrote in my book, which you kindly mentioned, there are certain similarities to great nations and empires that have collapsed in the past. My book was inspired by the late British diplomat Sir John Glubb, who studied several thousand years of human history and found a pattern. The average age of these empires, he said, was 250 years. And on July 4th, 2026, the United States will be 250 years old. Now, I'm not a prophet or the son of one, but I do think the seeds of our own destruction are being sowed right now. And Sir John said they include uncontrolled immigration without assimilation, massive national debt, the loss of shared moral values, and a decrease in faith in God. And we've seen among the current generation of young people, only about 25% have any kind of church or religious affiliation at all. I think all of those factors are in place right now in America, and if we don't turn this around rather quickly, I fear that we're going to follow the same path as those nations that have gone before us.
Wow, you hit the nail right on the head. And I noticed this book came out in 2020. Did you have a foresight that the current commander-in-chief would be the current commander-in-chief?
Well, not only did I not have the foresight of that, I didn't have any foresight about COVID. I think it was one of the worst time book releases ever. It came out at the end of February of last year, and then, of course, COVID hit around the first part of March. So I didn't get a whole lot of interviews or publicity on it, because, understandably, because of COVID. But I do think that one of the things that we do not study sufficiently, certainly in our schools and even as adults, is history. A lot of people think that we just crawled out of a cave. We have to invent the use of fire and the wheel. But history is a great teacher, because human nature never changes. You can dress people up in a toga or a suit or a dress, or you can ride in an airplane or on a horse, but you can't change human nature. And I fear that, the kind of leadership we have now, and this is not a partisan thing. I mean, this goes for Republicans and Democrats. We don't have the kind of leadership we need that are really calling us to a higher and different lifestyle and a different faith than faith in government. I think that government has become almost a false religion. People put their faith in it. It can't deliver like those ancient pagan gods we read about in the Old Testament. But people put their faith in it anyway, even though it can't deliver what they're hoping it will. And that I think is what is driving the incredible debt. And the Democrats in Congress and the president want to add on several trillion dollars to the trillions of dollars we're already in debt. And this breaks nations. You cannot sustain a nation on borrowed money.
Right. And, this show's been saying that for years also. But are they printing money just to buy votes?
Well, sure. I mean, one of the things that is a problem is that people stay too long in Washington. They stay for 20, 30, 40 years and are out of touch with real people. They don't have to really earn money on their own. They don't have to create a business. They don't have to have employees. The taxpayers pay for their salaries. And when they do retire, they get a never-ending pension. I mean, what's not to like about a job like that? I think my favorite story about this comes from my old friend, the late senator from South Dakota, George McGovern. And he was a friend of mine, and we went out and did civil debates together back in the 80s. And he said, after he lost in the Reagan landslide in 1980, he hadn't done anything other than public service since coming back from World War II. So he thought he'd do something completely different. He went up to Connecticut and bought an inn and tried to run it. And after a couple of years, it went bankrupt. And a Wall Street Journal reporter called him up, wanted to know what happened. And the only thing you need to know about what happens to people who stay too long in Washington, George McGovern said, gee, if I knew how difficult it was to run a business, I might have voted differently in the Senate. And I think that kind of sums up what the real problem is.
Right, exactly. Cal, I know you left Washington years ago. You're a native son here. I've been here for a decade, and I can't get out of here fast enough. I mean, people, why is it here in Washington people are so self-righteous, so self-pretentious, they think they're doing the work of the Lord, but there's nobody, everybody either works for the government, they're a contractor for the government, or they have something a hand in the government till. I mean, what happened to just like government, you know, of, for, and by the people?
Well, I think that one of the reasons is that we keep electing these people. It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and then expecting different results. We don't pay enough attention to our government. We pay attention around election time, and then we go about our business. But the time to pay attention is after they get into office. And then we move from self-reliance to over-reliance on government. Nobody can improve my life more than myself and a relationship with God. Nobody can do for me what I need to do for myself. I try to live within my means. I don't spend more than I take in. I try to be responsible in my investments and my personal life. And I'm told that because I do all of that and am pretty much self-sustaining, that I owe other people who have not made those kinds of decisions. And we elect these people, and we've moved from the values I learned as a child, which were, hard work and self-reliance, to envy, greed, and entitlement. I was taught inspiration followed by motivation followed by perspiration improves any life. But now we have this entitlement mentality that says if you make $2 and I make $1, you owe me 50 cents to make it fair. And look at all the words that are tossed around now, like equity and equality and fairness. What do those things mean? The big government, they mean less freedom.
Right. But anyways, Cal, we're coming on our first commercial break. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're just getting warmed up. We have Cal Thomas, and the book is America's Expiration Date. You can order it now. It's a must read. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We have the one and only Cal Thomas on the show tonight. The book is called America's Expiration Dates, The Fall of Empires and Superpowers, and the Future of the United States. Cal, can the U.S. be saved?
Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln said that if America was ever to collapse, it would not be from an invading army. It would be from internal collapse. And I think he was right. I mean, the average, again, as I said earlier, the average age of these great nations of the past is 250 years, and they all follow the same pattern. We need to, in my view, get our kids out of these re-education camps known as public schools, not send them off to universities where they are taught that America is a bad nation and all kinds of other terrible things. I mean, we don't send our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to enemy countries to be trained. We train them here. But we willingly, too many of us, willingly send our children into these public schools and universities where their faith and the love of country is torn apart. You have teachers now who will not have American flags in their classrooms, schools that don't say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. There was a story the other day of a teacher who didn't have an American flag in her classroom, but she had a gay pride flag, and she said people could pledge their allegiance to that. Now, yes, that may be the extreme at the moment, but today's extreme becomes tomorrow's normal. Look at some of these school board meetings around the country. Loudoun County, Virginia, for example, has been in the news, national news, recently when parents showed up to protest some of these horrible policies and things that are being taught in their public school. Well, what did they expect? Get them out. Barbara Bush, the late First Lady, once said that our success as a nation and your success as a family depends less on what happens in the White House and more on what happens in your house. And it's true. Why do we turn our kids over to these re-education camps and professors and teachers who are, you know, secular humanists and who teach all this garbage that has nothing to do with the founding and the sustaining of America?
Right. Cal, I couldn't say it better myself. I have school-aged children in the public schools. Unfortunately, I cannot afford to put them in private schools because private schools have become a business, and, you know, the market dictates the rates. Last year with COVID, it cost almost as much as college. But one
good
thing is
that... Yeah, but
hold
on just a minute, Peter. Excuse me, just a minute. I've heard that excuse over the years. And if you trust in God to provide, He will provide. Homeschooling now is a tremendous option. Hundreds of thousands of people during COVID, and maybe more than that now, I haven't checked the latest figures, have discovered homeschooling because their schools were closed and they have given up on the government school system. There are resources out there, not only online, but with other parents. Let's say you're really good in math, but you're not that good in literature. So you have another parent who is good in literature, and you join with them, and you help teach each other's children. I don't think it's a valid excuse to say I can't afford it. With all due respect to you, I understand the argument. But if we're going to have kids, again, as Barbara Bush said, they must come first. And we have to make not the sacrifice, but the investment. I sent my kids to private schools. It cost me a lot of money, but I didn't regret doing it. I worked into them, or they had worked into them, biblical principles, the love of this country, the real history of this country that's not seen through critical race theory and slavery and all this other junk that they want to teach in the government schools. So there is a way to do it if you commit to it. But, you know, as one who is a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, I found that faith comes first and then the fulfillment comes later. In culture, in commercials, they sell you the thing first and then you're supposed to believe in it later. It's just the reverse with God. So I've had people come up to me where I've spoken at Christian school fundraisers and tell me that they were initially offended by what I've just said to you and to your audience, but they decided to go ahead and do it. And they could not have been happier, and here's my son, here's my daughter, and you can just tell by the countenance on their faces that they're totally different. I just had lunch the other day with a very good friend of mine who heads up the Children's Scholarship Fund in New York, and the fund gets people, especially poor and minority kids, out of these failed public schools around the country. It's not just in New York. And changes their lives. They got uniforms. They're taught the real history of the country. They're taught the love of God, and their countenance is amazing. And so I think, you know, this is the future of America. And if we don't consider this important, then nothing is important.
Right. I hear you that. I hear you, Cal. And trust me, homeschool was considering an option. But unfortunately, you know, I live in Northern Virginia, and I'm currently working three jobs just to make sure my lights stay on because the economy that we're in. And, you know, you're right, I can have all excuses in the world, but, you know, my kids should come first, and my kids do come first. I mean, I don't go out drinking like I used to as a younger man. I don't have any hobbies. I don't have any friends, but you're absolutely right, and I should look at homeschooling or other options. But,
the other option, if you have to keep them there, you got to monitor what they're learning. You got to show up at the school board meetings. You got to show up at the parent teacher meetings. You got to talk to other parents. You got to look at the textbooks. And of course, a lot of these teachers don't tell you what is being taught. We've known for years. You know, the school nurses hand out contraceptives to girls and boys without parental permission or knowledge. There are all kinds of things going on in these places. So if you absolutely have to do that and cannot have any other option, then you've got to really monitor what's going on, because the teachers' unions and the educational elites see the next generation of young people as future liberals, future Democrats, future secular humanists, and that's where they train them, in the public schools and in the universities.
Right, you're absolutely right there, but I'm a thorn in the side of my school board, my kids' school, my kids' teachers, because you're absolutely right. They teach them garbage. For example, the Civil War. They mention absolutely nothing about the real reason of the Civil War, never mention about any of the Civil War heroes on both the Union and the Confederate side, but they talk about Harriet Tubman like she's the second coming. Harriet Tubman, W.B. Du Bois, Frederick Douglass, but nothing about any of the other generals that fought in the war. And, you know, I tell my kids what really goes on. I tell them history beyond what's in the school books, but, you know, in the school board, is very aware. They see what's going on in Loudoun County. I don't live in Loudoun County, so they have Zoom meetings, and they'll allow 100 participants on the Zoom meetings. But I'm very involved. My wife hates the fact that I'm always calling the school or contacting the principal or the school administrators or the teachers. But you know, I need to get involved with my kids' education, and
here's the thing, Peter. I understand that, but here's the thing. In this Loudoun County School Board meeting, a huge majority of parents showed up and were opposed to this transgender policy that was being pushed by the activist groups. The school board voted for it anyway. They don't care what you think. They only care about their positions. And very rarely do they get voted out of office. But even if they do, the people who come in eventually bend to the spirit of the age.
Right.
And then you've got all of this reinforcement in the schools themselves, not only from peers, but teachers. So your kid comes home and they've spent 6-7 hours at school being taught all of these things. And other kids believe in this stuff too. And their young minds are shaped by their peers and by their teachers because they want to go along. You've got teachers now who will downgrade a paper that a student writes when the student doesn't go along with the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. You see it all the time. I mean, this is important. And if this is not important, then nothing is important.
Right. Well, Carol, we come to the bottom of the hour. It's been great having you on. But please, anytime you want to come on, you're more than welcome, sir.
Peter, you're very kind. I enjoyed being with you. Thanks.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. That is Cal Thomas. The book is America's Expiration Date.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It's Labor Day weekend and the nation is struggling with four times as many COVID-19 cases as this time a year ago. 62% of the population has received at least one dose of a vaccine, but with the rapidly spreading Delta variant, hospitalizations are twice as high as they were last Labor Day. Since Hurricane Ida knocked out power to about 1 million customers in Louisiana, several officials have proposed putting power lines underground. Rod West is a president of Energy Utility Operations Group. He explains why he doesn't think that plan makes sense on the Gulf Coast.
It is, for the large part, a cost-prohibitive proposition. And what you trade in terms of the frequency of outages, and yes, there is a benefit to the frequency of outages, you wind up losing in terms of duration and disruption.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for Patriot VPN. Patriot VPN is a virtual private network service that uses military-grade encryption to protect your internet connection on all of your devices. With Patriot VPN, your data and internet privacy is secure anywhere in the world. Why do you need Patriot VPN? Cyber criminals, government, even your own internet service provider collect and use your private information without your knowledge. Examples in the news recently? Remember all the companies that have been hacked? Cuba censored the internet to kill protests? Here in America, conservative groups are being actively targeted. Your personal information and internet history is being sold by your ISP. It's all happening every day, but not with Patriot VPN. With Patriot VPN, your internet activity and history is protected from prying eyes forever. Patriot VPN is a veteran-owned business right here in the USA. For business or your family, starting at only $6.95 a month, use code WAR and get 3 months free. With an annual subscription, it's all at patriotvpn.com. That's patriotvpn.com.
Two-time U.S. Open champion Naomi Osaka announced following her loss at the U.S. Open on Friday that she plans to take a break from the sport. The 23-year-old defending champion of the Open disclosed earlier this year after she pulled out of the French Open that she's battling depression. A boxing legend is getting back in the ring.
Former undisputed heavyweight champion Evander Holyfield at 58 years old has agreed to fight for the first time in a decade. Holyfield agreeing Friday to take on former UFC star Vitor Belfort next Saturday. This will be Holyfield's 57th career fight. He's stepping in for another boxing legend, Oscar De La Hoya, who had to back out after getting COVID. Holyfield's return running into a snag, though. The De La Hoya-Belfort fight was set for L.A., but the California State Athletic Commission won't sanction the Holyfield fight. ESPN reporting Holyfield-Belfort will take place in Hollywood, Florida. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
Find us online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Folks, this is 7-5 Radio. And that was the great, the legendary Cal Thomas. The gentleman is in his late 70s, and he still packs a punch. Hopefully we have him on again. I hope we have him on frequently. And I hope he had a good time on 7-5 Radio. But he brings up some excellent points. The garbage media doesn't mention God anymore. They don't mention God in our public schools. And heaven forbid you mention God in the public square. Do you know who from NYU, the boys from NYU, will be slapping a subpoena preventing a nativity scene, a crucifix, or anything that mentions religion? Or correction, anything that represents the Christian religion. Muslim religion is perfectly okay. I guess that's the flavor of the moment, but it is what it is. This country is going right to hell. In terms of education, he's absolutely correct. You have these childless lesbians running the school boards for whatever reason, I don't know. They don't have kids, they don't have a dog in the fight, but they want your children. And, you know, I need to step up as a father to my children to make sure they learn what is right. But anyways, moving right along. Walt Disney Company. I've had some issues in the past with them. I still have issues with them. But I guess they decided that they don't want to make any more money anymore. The Walt Disney Company announces Reimagine Tomorrow Diversity Initiative. This is from Walt Disney World News today. As part of its ongoing commitment for broader diversity, the Walt Disney Company has announced the, quote, Reimagine Tomorrow Initiative. This initiative highlights Disney's current efforts to showcase stories and talent from underrepresented communities, as well as its intentions for the near future. As Disney states on the Reimagine Tomorrow website, at Disney, inclusion is for everyone. Reimagine Tomorrow is our way of amplifying underrepresented voices and untold stories, as well as championing the importance of accurate representation in media and entertainment. Let me read that again. Reimagine Tomorrow is our way of amplifying underrepresented voices and untold stories, as well as championing the importance of accurate representation in media and entertainment. Oh, boy. anyway, some of the bold actions being planned include having 50% of characters from scripted offerings across Disney General Entertainment come from underrepresented groups, as well as adopting inclusion standards across all content. Beyond storytelling, Disney is also planning to have over half of its annual charitable giving directed towards programs serving underrepresented communities, as well as spending at least $1 billion with diverse suppliers by 2024. We're still not done with Disney, folks. Also highlighted as part of the initiative is the recent decision to expand the, quote, Disney look that cast members must sport in the theme parks to offer more gender and culturally inclusive hairstyles and the ability to show appropriate tattoos, as well as making inclusion the fifth key that is featured in all cast member training. Whiskey. Tango, Foxtrots. You know, this is 1984, alive and well. They want to amplify underrepresented voices and untold stories and championing the importance of accurate representation in the media and entertainment. I mean, where do you want to start with this? I mean, if you look on television and movies and especially commercials, the people who are, quote, underrepresented, unquote, are usually supervisors, judges, bosses, the hero, the smart one, the person that knows what's going on, and the person that does not fold under pressure. And the white man is the dummy, the cuck, the nebbish, the Woody Allen character, the villain, the bad guy, the rapist, the suspect, so on and so forth. Perfect example is Law and Order. They can't make a whodunit because if that was the case, every week it'd be the white guy. But, you know, every judge is female and or minority. Every boss in that show is usually a female and or minority. Some of the main characters are females and or minorities, so on and so forth. Anyways, moving right along with this trash. They wanted to amplify underrepresented voices and untold stories, an accurate representation in media. What untold stories that we have heard? How many times are we going to hear about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, George Washington Carver, the first black person to do this, the first black person to do that, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, so on and so forth. An accurate representation in media and entertainment. Again, how many black judges you see? How many black supervisors you see? How many times the white guy is the villain and the good guy is a black or underrepresented minority? But it moves right along. Accurate representation. Okay, if they do Cool Running 2, Cool Runnings 2, or they have a couple white Jamaicans. But if they want accurate representation, you know, let's look at statistics. Over 70% of black babies are born in a single-parent household. The net worth of a black female is $5. Not $5,000, not $5 million, $5 U.S. dollars. One Abraham Lincoln. Black males are more likely to die at the hands of other black males than any other cause. Black people have an IQ of 75. That's an average IQ of 75. Now, everybody can be a Larry Elder or Benjamin Carson, but that's the average IQ. Net worth of blacks and Hispanics is lower that of whites. And there are 50% of black people that represent the jail population, which means 50% of our jails is black people. About 90% of the jails are blacks and Hispanics. I know some jails are about 95% black, even though the city population is generally 50% black. But according to Disney, we're all greater than a single story, and we all deserve to feel seen, heard, and understood. You know, it's the old saying, once you go woke, you go broke. NFL ratings are down. NFL attendance is down. All sports attendance is down. Ratings are down. Award shows are woke as can be. They're down. And I guess Disney says, the hell with it. We're going to put what we want to put out here. We want to be accurate by being misaccurate. Okay, and one thing that consistent with Disney is look at the chief operating officers. I mean, they're all from the same tribe, if you know what I mean. But anyways, in terms of charitable giving, I've looked it up. Disney does not give away anything. It's a multi-billion-dollar company that breaks in billions of dollars every single year from its theme parks, movie studios, television networks, television programming. And I can't find any charitable giving other than the Disney Wildlife Fund. I mean, you're lucky if Disney gives a free ticket to a disabled veteran at one of the theme parks. But anyways, $1 billion with diverse suppliers by 2024, which means they need some stuff for their movie studios, television networks, and the theme park. So they're going to go give it to minority-owned businesses. Anyways, in terms of the Disney look, we're coming to our break. Anyways, check us out. We are at 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. Check us out. We're going to come to the end of the show. Stay tuned, everybody.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Tonight, earlier, I was on the political festival for the last segment with James Edwards, and I was at the Dallas Expo Center. Well, I am at the Dallas Expo Center, and I'm walking around now, and I see a couple hundred cars at the Expo Center. Now, mind you, it is about 10:45 on Saturday night, and there shouldn't be a couple hundred cars here. And I see about a couple dozen charter buses with the diesel engine running, putting CO2 in the air. And I'm walking around, and there is more fencing up, and more tractor trailers are in the area. Areas are blocked off, and local police are still patrolling here on overtime, courtesy of the U.S. State Department, courtesy of you, the sucker taxpayer. Also, there is a deuce and a half septic truck ready probably to pump out the porta potties or whatever toilets these people are using. Well, why am I at the Dulles Expo Center again? Because the State Department is planning to bring in 100 to 200,000 Afghan refugees. Why are they doing this? Because they want votes. They know that the goose is cooked in 2022 and 2024, so they want more and more of these people. So come to America, we'll set you up, we'll give you a house and three hats and a cock and a job, and we'll give you a voter registration card. And some of the problems that are happening is that, first of all, people flying into Dulles Airport have to clear customs, everybody. So now what usually takes an hour, hour and a half to clear customs for international flights, you are looking at a three-hour delay. Secondly, you got people who are sex offenders fly to the U.S. They're found out to be sex offenders. They're turned back to Afghanistan, and the same sex offender jumps on another charter flight back to Dulles. Also, allegedly, I cannot confirm this, that there was a person on the terrorist watch list that was on one of these flights, and the flight was delayed a couple of hours so people before people could disembark and come to the Dulles Expo Center. So anyways, as usual, there's no media here. 11 o'clock news is about to kick off on a Saturday, which is usually a very slow night. But nobody's here, nobody's protesting. And you got a lot of other people walking around. They're wearing yellow shirts and have some sort of ID around their neck. I guess their shift is over or whatever they're doing. But I'm walking by the Expo Center entrance. I don't see any movement inside the big windows for the North and South Hall. I'll see if I can find something, talk to somebody, you know, find out what's going on. Because, again, we're doing the job the media refuses to do. So if you remember back about 30 years ago, we had a little problem in a country called Somalia. Airlifted thousands of people, including one Ilhan Omar. And it worked out just fine. You have little Mogadishus all over the U.S., including Minnesota. You got Somali cab drivers refuse to transport people who purchased alcohol in their taxi cabs. And also you have Somalis refugees in upstate New York in these towns where it gets blistering cold. And these people are used to, you know, the African heat and have nothing to, don't know what to do with the snow. And on top of this, these people have no skills whatsoever. And on top of that, not only can they not read or write or even speak English, they cannot read or write their native language, so they have to sign all their documentation with a big letter X. So we got a lot of, I guess, Malcolm X's and Janie X's and little X's running around town. But anyways, that's, you know, that's the State Department, you know, bring every third world piece of trash over here. Meanwhile, you got people in South Africa being slaughtered because of the race war down there, and we do absolutely nothing. Jim Lansing was willing to go down to South Africa as a U.S. ambassador, and the Trump administration hired some lady who made handbags. She had a business that made fancy handbags. I guess she donated a lot more to the Trump campaign than Jim Lansing. But anyways, that's what's going on right now. I'm still walking around the Dulles Expo Center. I'm waiting to be stopped by somebody. But again, there's a couple hundred cars at this place at 10:45 at night. But in good news, Ed Asner died. That's right. Old Lou Grant himself finally passed away. He was 93 years old. And I say, good riddance. For 60, 70 years, he played a grumpy old man. Now, granted, he was 91, so he was 30 years old playing an old grumpy man. And of course, he was left as can be. And Sean Hannity had him on his TV show a whole bunch of times, but never called him out. Like, Ed, you make millions of dollars. Why don't you give it to the poor? Or better yet, Ed, you're a millionaire. You live far away from minorities. Why don't you move down with the minorities in Compton or Inglewood or South Central or many other places of where people of color move to? But he didn't. They talked about politics, and Ed Asner was Ed Asner, and that was it. But he was very good in the movie Fort Apache of the Bronx. He played the perfect jerk boss at the beginning of the movie when he was taking command of the 41st precinct, and two rookie cops were murdered that morning. And he thought he was going to do great things in this ghetto-ass precinct, and more or less he did not. But he was pretty good in that, but good, just a bad rubbish. So anyways, hopefully, I don't know if he believes in God or not, so maybe he is in purgatory. So anyways, also news of note, next week will be our September 11th show. And we will have Larry Ray Harden on. And last week we had a problem with the connection. Granted, it is 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're calling literally overseas. But anyways, finally, it's election time in California. And the 7-5 radio show will gladly give its endorsements. Now, California is having another recall election of its governor, second time in less than 20 years. California voters is deciding if they want to throw out the sitting governor, Gavin Newsom, or they want the current governor to keep screwing up the states. Well, anyways, for generations, people have been moving to California for a better life. People like Ronald Reagan and Pete Wilson made California a juggernaut for business. And back in the day, Los Angeles was one of the best middle-class cities to live in. Yes, Los Angeles was one of the great places to live for middle-class America. But the libs moved out west and brought their bad ideas and bad politics with them. And we see it today. They moved into California with bad ideas. Now they're moving out of California with bad ideas. Just look at Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and now Arizona, and now Texas. But anyways, you had people like Jerry Brown, Gray Davis, and now Gavin Newsom. California is in the top 5 states in terms of taxes, regulation, housing costs, and population loss. California is also a sanctuary state, but was once historically black neighborhood. Watts is now all Mexican. Yes, I had a friend who lived in the 10,000 block of Central Avenue in South Central, and it is all Mexican. And there are no English-speaking people left in Watts. California is also a haven of gang activity. California is the home of the Bloods, the Crips, and the Mexican Mafia. People with no gang affiliation cannot wear certain colors because real gang members could mistake these innocent people as actual gang members. So California liberals voted their state in despair. They're moving out, bringing them with their horrible ideas. And just think, Beto O'Rourke almost beat Ted Cruz in the Senate race in Texas. And people in Texas are saying, don't California my Texas. Anyways, we need to keep these whack jobs in California. That's why 7-5 Radio is proud to endorse Caitlyn Jenner for California governor. Nah, I'm kidding. On Tuesday, September 14th, California need to vote yes to recall Governor Gavin Newsom and vote to elect Larry Elder for governor. If you live in California, you need to vote for Larry Elder. How important it is to vote? Currently, Gavin Newsom is polling as 100% among illegal aliens and dead people. Anyways, the establishment is very scared of Elder. The Los Angeles Times said that Elder was the black face of white supremacy. You heard me right. Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy. Now, mind you, Larry Elder is black, and he did grow up in the bastion of white supremacists called South Central Los Angeles. But anyways, folks, we made it another one in the can. And remember, on the 14th in California, vote for Larry Elder. Next week, 7-5 Radio, we'll have Larry Ray Harden, God willing. And we'll also remember, September 11th,
I do want to thank Cal Thomas for coming on the show. Remember, this is Scoop Stanton telling you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. So long, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.